views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Pando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA Region number 6. Pastor Keith is on the board. Not in studio, but maybe chiming in from time to time. Keith, if you want to chime in, just unmute yourself when you're ready, and then we'll bring you up. So we have a live show for you today. Today is January the 3rd of 2019. It is a Thursday. We have a live show for you. At any time you'd like to call in, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. And today's show is going to be part two from yesterday's show, which is part two. Today's neoteric battlefield, battlefield tactics are going to shock all, lights out. Today's neoteric battlefield tactics are going to shock all, lights out. Is part two of that for today's show. But before we get into that, everyone, if you would please support Black Talk Radio Network, we would greatly appreciate that. We need your support to stay on air. Without your support, we will not be on air. And you can support the network by going to this network's homepage website, that being www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. www.blacktalkradionetwork.com is the website where you can give a monetary donation there, where you can ensure that this network stays on air. And very, very important that we do that for us to remain relevant. So please, please do that, okay? So go there and support the network. You can also support this grassroots groups network that was designed for you in mind, not for the mainstream media to manipulate and to tell you what to think and to actually further domesticate you into subjugation and enslavement. You can also support it by going to its social media platform known as BTR Community. And BTR Community is a social media platform where you can give some of your financial energy in order to, where you can actually get some of your financial energy in order to support the network and engage in social media activities that you would otherwise be adversely affected by, like from mainstream social media platforms such as Facebook, aka Facebook. You can actually don't have to worry about your identity being sold like you know it is going to be done there. So come on over to BTR Community for only $24 a year, and you can engage in all of your social media activities that you would otherwise engage on other platforms that is not in your best interest, okay? And it doesn't support a grassroots organization. So come on over and do that. Also, if you would like to acquire real money, now's the time to do it. Is you can go to Prosperity Mint, full service precious metals dealership, check out what's in inventory, then email info@prosperitymint.com and tell them that you're a Tando Radio Show listener, and someone will get in contact with you to explain the overall buying process for you, which is very, very important, very critical for you to do that to your benefit, not to anyone else's. So that can be done. All right, so we're going to get into today's show. And today's show is part two. Part two of today's neoteric battlefield tactics are going to shock all, lights out. And we started yesterday. We're going to actually continue in that. So, but let's get into what's in the news before we get into the show. But at any time during the show, you can give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. So here we go. First article got from physics.org. Says China probes the dark side of the moon. And let me just hit this because it didn't bring up the real whole thing. Here we go from physics.org. Let me read the headlines completely. Significant event. China lands spacecraft on the dark side of the moon in world's first update. And I will just say this before we continue to get going in this show. If this is true, and I'm saying if this is true, this could go either way. And I say that because of the significance of the moon and what's on the dark side of the moon. Boy, this is true. China has, in my estimation, probably, because I don't think that the U.S. actually has ever had a man on the moon. That story that they told about the man being on the moon, I don't think that it actually happened myself. But this is significant, and it can go either way. But however it goes, being on the dark side of the moon is a global event. And I'm not surprised that it's China that's actually doing it. And it really just serves notice as to the truth and reality of things. And the truth and the realities of things is that the overall change of empire control has already been pretty much completed. You're just in the overall phase of it not being completely publicized. Done deal. It is over. But there's a lot that goes along to this being on the moon. And, you know, I guess I would need to do a show just on this, but this could go either way. This could be good or extremely bad. But I think that some of the things that China's doing shows significant things. And that significant things is that there's other presence that's there on the moon, other living entities on the moon, in my overall opinion. And the reason why China is there, Russia and other countries want to go there, is because of the vast resources that are on the overall moon. And the moon looks the way it looks because it acts as a buffer and a shield for the U.S. So the asteroids and comets and everything else don't destroy the overall living existence of life in the forms that we have here on Earth. But that means that overall planet is teeming with wealth of natural resources. So a lot going on there. Not surprised, but huge event. Next article got from RT International. Same thing corroborates this. China probes lands on the dark side of the moon in space exploration breakthrough. The Chinese robotic probe has landed on the dark side of the moon because the first man-made craft to align on the unexplored surface. According to reports from China's state media, the probe reportedly landed in the South Pole Africa Basin, the oldest and largest and deepest crater on the moon's surface. So that is huge, and I definitely think that there's other living entities on that overall satellite moon. So check out that. Next article from... This is from Michigan Institute. The Depression of 2019 to 2021. The Depression of 2019 to 2021. Yes, definitely can see that. We'll catch this on one of the Financial Fridays. Check out that article. Next one from Mish Talk. $184 trillion in global debt in 2017, $247 trillion through quarter two of 2018. What can possibly go wrong? Look at that massive jump. Oof, huge. We'll check out that article as well. Next article to corroborate it all from South China Morning Post. China lunar probe sends first photos of the far side of the moon after historic landing. Check out that. Next article from South China Morning Post. From moon landing to AI, the year ahead in China science. Significant there. Next article from Sputnik News. Quote from celebrity figurehead Donald Trump. I don't care about Europe, Trump says. He's cool with losing support in the EU. Check out that article. Next article from Press TV. Celebrity figurehead Trump says Iran can do whatever it wants in Syria. Check out that article. All of these things are very, very significant. Next article, this one comes from Bloomberg. And this one was the five doom loop investment that may be confronted in 2019. Let me just let this. Five doom loops to navigate in 2019. Check out that article as well. Next article, this one comes from South China Morning Post. China. Trump's new Pentagon chief sets U.S. defense priorities. And this is the overall new acting defense secretary of defense. China. Man, this is going to unfold very, very bad. Next article from Sputnik News. U.K. and U.S. always knew Crimea wanted to rejoin Russia and this is part of the archives, so check out that. Next article from Press TV. U.S. troops withdrawal bring Iraq and Syria closer. Yes, check out that article. Next article from CNBC. Jeff on Apple's warning. This is the kind of stuff that happens in bear market. So going to be more than the bear market, far, far more than that. Check out that article. Next article from Press TV. Trump gives in to calls to slow Syrian Trump pullout. Of course. Check out that article. And then last article from the National Interest. Russia says U.S. stealth technology, think F-22, F-35, or B-2 bomber is paper fiction. Check out that article. And the last article, thanks to my man Carlos for sending this one. This one comes from Stars and Stripes. Many Chinese think Americans lack the resolve to prevail in battle, experts said. So check out that article. Those are the articles that are there and what's in the news. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation at any time, please don't hesitate to give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number, and we're going to jump into today's show. What I want to do, Scotty, Star Wars, the same thing that we were listening to yesterday. Want to carry it from minute 8 to minute 16, Space War in Space. Very, 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 very important. So let's carry 8 minutes of it, because I really want you all to hear it. I'm going to post it there. So we'll pick up from minute 8 to 16. So let me just post this here. Then we'll get going. I want you to really pay attention and listen, everyone, to what's being said here. And this was from Cerebrally Naive Network. And so posted there. I don't know if Scotty's there. If Scotty's not there, I'll be able to play it myself. Let me see if Scotty... Okay, so, oh, there. Okay, cool. So Scotty's got it. Take your time, Scotty.
Losing a war?
Very, very good.
I think so. We'd be silly to say it's not a possibility. That's what any defense planner will tell you, is don't look for the ideal outcome. Plan for the worst day so that you can survive it.
Coming up.
The wake-up call really was January of 2007 when the Chinese tested their anti-satellite weapon.
The first shots in space have already been fired.
All right, good morning, Charlie crew. Let's get started with changeover.
One of the first warning shots in space was spotted here at the Joint Space Operations Center at Vandenberg Air Force Base in California.
All assets are currently tasked and are ready to support. Pending any questions, ma'am, that's all I've got.
It was May 2014 when a small team of airmen monitoring a Russian space launch saw something they'd never seen before.
As part of the Russian space launch, we were tracking three objects on orbit. One was the actual satellite that they were launching in orbit. One was the rocket body. And another was what we assumed to be a piece of debris.
But soon after, that debris came to life. Lieutenant General David Buck, commander of U.S. Military Space Forces, was on duty.
The one object that we assumed was a piece of debris started to maneuver in close proximity to the booster.
It has continued to, over time, make maneuvers?
We're watching it very closely.
In other words, it's not debris, but a satellite with new and dangerous capabilities. Hidden from sight in an old airplane hangar at Vandenberg is General Buck's team, airmen who consider themselves the first space warriors. First Lieutenant Andrew Engel is one of them, assigned to the Joint Space Operations Center, one small part of America's Space Command. It's a command with some 38,000 employees, a nearly $9 billion annual budget, and 134 locations across the globe.
Now, when you see a satellite from another country move in space like that, mm-hmm. is there any other explanation except that they're testing out an offensive capability?
Everything that has that type of capability can be easily changed into an offensive capability.
The satellite's official call sign is Cosmos 2499. But the airmen here have a more daunting nickname, Kamikaze, a spacecraft expressly designed to maneuver up close to another satellite and disable or destroy it. In other words, this satellite can go on attack.
This is something that is kind of on the new frontier of space that we're seeing from our adversaries in this aspect. It's highly technical, highly skilled.
Today, Lieutenant Engel, one of Space Command's newly created defensive duty officers, watches his computer screens with the alertness of a sentry guarding a forward military outpost.
It takes a lot of vigilance. It takes us being focused, being ready every single day.
We would absolutely be shocked if the U.S. military were not on a war footing now based on what we see.
Paul Graziani, CEO of the civilian satellite tracker AGI, finds his team on the front lines of this new threat.
There's no doubt that Russia and China both have seen that this is a way that they could shift the odds in their favor.
AGI tracks some 10,000 commercial and military objects orbiting the Earth. Their visual rendering of satellites and debris as small as 4 inches across resembles a porch light swarming with thousands of mosquitoes. We spent the day with their ops team as Graziani showed us that Cosmos 2499, that Russian kamikaze, is far from the only threat. Now, meet Luch.
It's a Russian satellite, and what's been happening here is this satellite has been maneuvering through geosynchronous space and cozying up close to various communication satellites, listening to what traffic is flowing over those.
Launched in 2014, just a few months after the kamikaze, this second Russian satellite takes offensive space capability to a new level, operating like a space fighter jet and a spy plane. We watched, again in real time, as Luch shadowed a European communication satellite, hoovering up every byte of information.
What's interesting is it has two capabilities. It can listen. It can spy on all the communications coming out of this EUTELSAT, this European communication satellite.
Correct.
But because it can maneuver, it also has the potential just to become a bullet.
It could. It could. So if the operators of this spacecraft so chose, they could direct it to actually hit another spacecraft.
Over the course of a year, Luch has also cozied up to three U.S. satellites, handling some of the most sensitive military communications. Graziani was charged with delivering the bad news to one of its victims, U.S.-owned Intelsat.
We actually, as soon as we figured that out, that it was parking next to an Intelsat satellite, we picked up the phone and we called Intelsat and we let them know they've got a new neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Their reaction?
They were not happy.
The Russian government did not respond to CNN's request for comment on Luch or Cosmos 2499. If Russia's launches of those potential attack satellites were the space equivalents of surgical strikes, China's 2007 space shot was a sledgehammer. That year, the Chinese launched a massive space kill vehicle similar to this launch, striking one of its own satellites and blasting it, literally, into thousands of pieces.
I would say that the wake-up call really was
when the Chinese
tested their anti-satellite weapon against their own satellite. Clear demonstration that the technology was there in the hands of the Chinese anyway.
A wake-up call, both because it represented an ominous step towards weaponizing space and because it immediately added thousands of pieces of debris to Earth's orbits, each piece a potential satellite or spacecraft killer.
Hands out!
Just as you saw in the thriller Gravity, space junk traveling at more than 20 times the speed of sound is flat out deadly. A piece just 4 inches across packs the punch of an SUV traveling at 70 miles an hour. Then, 6 years later, China made a far stealthier advance in weaponizing space. AGI's operators initially observed the Shuyan, meaning experiment in Chinese, experimenting, shadowing a second, smaller Chinese satellite. Until one day, that second satellite disappeared.
We saw the approach. We saw the larger spacecraft come close to the smaller spacecraft, and then we no longer saw the smaller spacecraft.
The only reasonable explanation, Shuyan has a robotic arm that was repeatedly grabbing, then releasing its smaller partner, experimenting with a dangerous new space weapons capability. China admits the satellite has a robotic arm, but claims it was launched purely to observe space debris. Graziani and others, however, see the potential for a far more sinister use.
Why would you grapple another satellite?
You could grab a hold of a satellite and maneuver it out of its mission, so it could basically take it offline.
So you could kidnap another satellite?
Essentially, right.
Kidnapper satellites, kamikaze satellites, anti-satellite missiles, multiple weapons with one target, the U.S. Next.
So our satellites are at risk, and our ground infrastructure is at risk.
War as we've never known it.
The first battles would likely be silent.
Every war has its trademark sound. For World War I, it was boots marching. World War II, German buzz bombs. Japanese kamikazes. And the atomic bomb. So what will be the signature sounds of the first war in space?
The first battles of a war between great powers would likely be silent.
Silent and stealthy, but gravely impacting both the civilian and military worlds. The first targets likely will be here on Earth.
They will be malware going after computer networks.
A war started by military hackers, techies, and programmers with keyboards and networks, not bombs or bullets, their weapons of choice. A battle that does not sound or look like any before it.
Electronic warfare, cyber, jamming, those kind of capabilities are most likely where a conflict would start.
Soon, the front lines extend to outer space. Laser weapons, another new capability now being tested by multiple countries, temporarily blind or permanently disable U.S. space assets. Then, satellite versus satellite. Kidnapper satellites capture them. Kamikaze satellites destroy them. All of these threats potentially hiding today in plain sight.
You could have something on orbit that, for all intents and purposes, looks like a communications satellite, when in actuality, it is also a weapon.
A space Trojan horse.
Exactly.
And the attack is not over. Ground-based missiles launched at the start of the attack are now reaching space to destroy some of the nation's most sensitive satellites.
If it continues to escalate, then you probably start seeing anti-satellite weapons start flying.
Blowing things up, damaging them, disabling them irreversibly.
Absolutely.
Shriver Air Force Base in Colorado Springs, Colorado, is on America's first line of defense.
All right, everyone, we're going to hold it there. We're going to go to our commercial break.
The break isn't for another 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, cool. You know what? Let's hold it there. I'm tripping, Scotty. I don't know why I thought that. Thanks, Scotty.
Well, I actually went past the mark that you had told me to stop at. I was in my emails. I'm sorry.
Okay, no. It's good. It went to a good spot. So we're going to stop it there. So we're going to pick up. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. And, you know, some of the things that we heard just before we stopped it, I hope you were able to really grasp what was really going on. And we've been talking about this for a long time, that World War III and GNW1, Global Nuclear War I, is not going to be the traditional battlefield at all. It's going to be the battlefield of age, and it's going to be just like the crime of today. The crime of today, you never have to see the person or anything else. It's all about identity theft and everything else. So this is going to be significant, and it definitely is going to have a sound. And some of the things that they said in World War One was the marching of boots. World War Two was the overall bombs, the planes, the bombs, the atomic bomb. And World War III and Global Nuclear War I will actually have a sound as well. You remember when AOL first came on, or when the internet first came on, and you heard it go, right? Well, that's going to be the sound. It's going to be that sound is going to go out, and then you're going to hear the sound of utter chaos, because that's what this overall platform of war is going to bring. And I think it's very, very, very important. And one of the things that they were talking about, that what the satellites were able to do, I just want to give my opinion on what some of the capabilities of these satellites are. The one that the Russians had that actually could go up and just listen to everything that satellite is communicating, it doesn't just listen to it. It can actually interfere with the communications. It doesn't need to just scramble the communications. It can scramble the message. And that is very, 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 very significant. And what I mean by scramble the message or interfere, it can alter and change the overall message. So let's say one person from one in the military, let's say there's a coordinate or a order that's given that's actually transmitted through the satellites and everything else. Well, that order can be changed. And the dynamic of that is going to be it's huge. It's absolutely huge, because they're not just listening. Now they can actually interfere and interfere from preventing the message to get through or altering the message itself, putting in something. How you really saw this was that, you know, this is why the overall so-called election thing, the interference of the election thing, is far bigger than what people know. It's about the satellite. It's about being able to interfere with everything that is being done. And it's really, to me, it was really done to send a message. You can't win, so don't even try to engage in this next overall war. And I definitely think that the U.S. will actually have to completely back down. Now, we're looking at what China and Russia has, and they're not really talking about what the U.S. has, but in my estimations, it's nowhere near capable of what is already there, what the Russians and the Chinese have. And so this is significant. Let me tell you why that's so significant with that one satellite that goes up, the Russian one. In interfering the message, you can change the dynamic of everything. You can change the dynamic of having your own military attack itself, from giving where the coordinates of everything is and then engaging each other and not even knowing it. And if they ever would find out, it would be far too late by time, because all the damage would be done. Or not to respond to something, or to inappropriately respond to something. It's the perfect false flag device. And it actually shown itself really in the overall, this is why you have the election meddling. It's much more than just, it's not about election. It's really about the overall using the technology that is going to be used in the overall war, if it goes there. And in my overall opinion, it will go there, and it has already started. So that was very, very significant. And then not only that, now they'll, you know, from that capability, they're able to know everything that you do. So what? They don't need the assets that the U.S. has overextended its military with. This is how you defeat asymmetrically. First, you find out what is it that your overall adversary needs and wants, and then you devise the tactics around that. And the Achilles heel will be there. The Achilles heel is always going to be in what that overall adversary needs are. In this case, the U.S. needs to maintain its overall military dominance around the world. So what do? You nullify that and make it this Achilles heel. You have it attack its own self. And then inappropriately respond to different things. You totally nullify. You totally nullify that overall, whatever military technology that was supposedly to have is gone. And then also with the satellites, they can see all of the relevant infrastructure that the U.S. has built throughout the world, and replace it with their overall command and control. And this has actually been done and displayed. And why I'm saying this is because, remember when the U.S. drone was hacked by Iran and they took control over it and landed it? How did they do that? Because they didn't just scramble the communications, they interfered. And this was Iran. Did they have support from the Russians and the Chinese? I would assume so. So not only do I think that they could do that with drones, they now can do that with everything that is fly-by-wire or signal-based. They can turn cruise missiles around and have them return from where they actually came from, and when they return, they're going to return with an explosion. So they could retarget it and have it return from where it came from. This is the capabilities. And it's, these capabilities have been displayed. So it's not a hypothetical situation. It's the truth. Iran did it. So that shows that, basically puts it in this context, is that the perception that everyone hears about, have about the U.S. military and its overall might, is never can be defeated. You don't understand where today's battlefield is and what's already been proven and done to show it. The USS Donald Cook, Iran, the overall taking over control of tankers and causing them to crash into or into U.S. military vessels. Or how about this? They're not admitting it. Those vessels themselves, the U.S. military vessels themselves, were taken over. You think it's not possible? Norway's newest naval vessels sank a month and a half ago, ran into a tanker. Or did the tanker run into the vessel, or did the vessel run into the tanker? Either way, their newest, most sophisticated, one of their most sophisticated, technically sound ships is laying on the bottom of the sea during Trident Juncture war games. These signals are being sent to and I really want you to know these things, because they're telling what their capabilities are. And those overall capabilities are going to be used. Those examples that I just gave prove. Doesn't speculate. It proves what's really happening. And I know Cerebrally Naive Network did this whole thing, and one thing with them is that they're going to lie as well. Extremely, but you have to be able to decipher what it is. And most people don't think things are valid until it's on mainstream media or Cerebrally Naive Network. We've been talking about this stuff for the 3 years that we've been on air, just from having BTR community, but actually the 5 years that we've been on air in total. Why? Is because we want you to get prepared. And the significance and the dynamics of this is crucial. Not only can they kill satellites, they can steal the overall information, they can interfere with the information, they can capture the satellites, they can change their orbit, change their direction. And I just want to give you a little clue of how significant. They've been talking about this for a very long time. If you look at some of the movies, hold on one second. If you look at some of the movies, they've been saying how taking out satellites is how you defeat a modern army. Hold on a second, everyone.
Hi, how are you? I've got a registered call.
Sorry about that, everyone. So there were actual movies that laid truth to this. And they were, you know, even like Independence Day and everything else. The command and control situation is key for everything. You knock out the overall, in today's world, knock out the command and control of satellites, then the overall army and its technology and all of its weaponry becomes nullified. They become dead in the water. Done deal. And so how that's significant for you and I and everyone here, that means that as that overall silent or that overall engagement of World War III and the noise of World War III is not going to be what CNN said. Is not going to be silent. It's going to be extremely loud. And the overall noise of the of the war is going to be the noise of chaos. The noise of complete chaos like never ever seen before in any event in this overall period of history that we've been in for people that are here in the States. And it's, and the overall noise is going to be deafening because of what those, what the capabilities are and what these weapons can actually do. It is going to be a war of psychological control. And that's one of the things that is not really talked about when it comes to the cyber weapons, cyberspace, and the cyberspace warfare. It's more of a psychological warfare than anything else, because it totally nullifies your what you have become dependent on. And when you lose your dependency on something, you psychologically can lose it. When you when your overall what you've come to depend on is not there anymore, what you've come to rely on is not available to you anymore, what you come to rely on is offline, people will actually lose it. They won't know what to do. This is psychological warfare at the height. And because of that, it's all based off of frequencies. And then now you get into the overall part of the warfare that's going to be extremely damaging to everyone here. You get into acoustics. The acoustic side of today's warfare. They have the weaponry of today, the acoustics of today's weaponry is far more superior than any bomb, bullet, or plane, or tank, or aircraft carrier. And they are the acoustic weapons that will definitely, definitely be used. So we need to really take grasp of this. Not anything that you need to be afraid of, it's something that you need to be aware of. It's a matter of being cognizant and cautious and have the appropriate concern about it, to have the appropriate measures to deal with it. Not really that hard, but darn that significant. It's going to be very significant. So as we look at it, it's not just the overall nullification of the military, which will be nullified. If, and there will be troops that will be around the world that will be locked in place without the ability to supply. So it doesn't matter what overall armament you have. If you can't get the overall fuel to it, to that overall military and that overall supply. One thing about forward armies, armies that are forward, it takes a lot of supplies to be able to maintain them. This is why one of the things that the Chinese have done in their weaponry with the J-20, they decided to go with the J-20 as their fifth generation stealth fighter, because of its capabilities to attack the U.S.'s ability to render supply to its large naval and air force presence. If they're able to take out the tankers and the overall suppliers, those planes fall out the sky or they remain grounded. And then now they're easy targets. And also, they're able to actually nullify the U.S. military by its own weight, its own footprint. You break the supply chain, and the U.S. has bases all over the world. and military personnel scattered all over the world, they become immediately nullified. Remember what happened in Benghazi? Ambassador Stevenson was taken hostage. They knew that it was going to be happening. They knew it in time enough to render aid and support, but guess what? There was no support that came. So what happened? Got overrun. That's going to be the theme in the U.S. military engagement around the world. They're going to get overrun because they won't have the logistical augmentation that's needed to sustain themselves. And it just won't be in one instance. It will be strategically placed all over the place. That's why Cuba is significant now. They don't need to put nukes there. They got something more powerful than nukes for Cuba. They have interference. They have cyber warfare at the height. And I don't think that they're going to lose it, and they definitely are going to use it. They're not going to let the U.S. catch up. Don't see them letting the U.S. catch up in any way. So what we're going to do is, when we come back out, we got 10 minutes before we go into the overall break. What I want to do is talk about how that can actually affect us here, some of the things that we look like, so that you can say, okay, I need to know about that, and okay, let me think about this, and let me think about that. And these are the things that you should be speaking with your family as well. Because you can't go to a small kind of war with China or Russia in today's world. Can't be done. They may promise never to go nuclear, and they may not go nuclear initially. But the threat and the overall destruction that they'll have here in the States is going to be just as if it was nuclear or worse. It may even have a less of a casualty rate if they did use nuclear weapons compared to the overall cyber weapons that will be used. We need to know what that looks like. What that sounds like, what that feels like, what that entails, what that means. You know, with China being the first country to put, if it's true, having a probe on the dark side of the moon means and what it represents. It represents that their overall position in space is far beyond the U.S. And if you're going to show that, the first place you go is you go to the moon to fund it. The moon is now going to be able to fund China's empire. And because of this, it's going to be more of an impactful empire than the U.S. ever has. It's far older, far more ancient, been around far longer, and it's going to be around far more, and it's going to have more relevance than ever before. Keith is there in queue. Let me go to Keith. Keith, welcome to Tando Radio Show. Go ahead. Keith? Keith, you want to chime in? Okay, I guess not. Let me see if I could do this and then unmute him. Go ahead, Keith. I don't think Keith can hear me. Let me send him a little message. So, okay, we lost them. So I think what happened, he had a bad reception. So China being on this, on the moon, on the dark side of the moon, has real relevance. Real relevance. I don't, you know, I do think that there's other living entities that actually may actually reside on the moon. You don't know if you know how that engagement is going to go. And I do know this, is that the moon is rich in natural resources, particularly silver. That's why they're there.
Dave, can you hear me now?
Yeah, got you, Keith. Go ahead.
Okay, Dave, you know, in light of what you're talking about, I believe come April, we no longer have a coalition with Russia to share the space station where nothing else. The reason why I bring that up is after April, which is what, 2 months? March, April, something like that. We don't even have a vehicle to get into space, let alone all those other things that you're talking about. We have fallen so far behind this thing that our only means of getting to space was to actually piggyback on Russia's system. We don't even have our own.
Yeah, that's so true, Keith. It's the overall space venturing vehicles are outdated. They don't use them anymore, and so their capabilities are. But you would say, well, what was the U.S. putting up in space all of those years? They could have been putting things up in space. They're, you know, they're definitely, they could have definitely been doing it. So it's either way, it's not going to be good to the, for the everyday person here, because they're not going to, their engagement is always about subjugation and control. But Keith is absolutely right. They won't be able to ride with the cosmonauts to go to the space station anymore. They, as Keith said, they can only piggyback on that ride. And the key is, you're going to have to continue to go into space, because what they say they're able to do in space is far, far more. Far, 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 far more, in my opinion. So, yeah, it's the transfer of wealth is going to be very, very significant. Very, very, very significant. And it's going to be heartbreaking for a lot of individuals here that get caught off guard by this. Now, I do know that there's probably some of the purest and rarest forms of gold and silver on the moon right now. And it has, you know, it's a large amount of it that's going to be there. And the reason why is because, you know, there's still a lot of gold here on Earth here, but gold isn't really the one that's significant. It's silver. There isn't a lot of silver veins that are left on Earth. They've been mined to exhaustion and actually consumed. It's not just governments that are trying to get to the moon to harvest it. It's actually private corporations. And Obama actually signed a law for people to do that in 2015. He actually, Obama signed into law where corporations can go into space and mine asteroids, mine comets, mine anything in space, and even planets. Why would they do that? Because it's a reason. It's a real, real reason. So listen, everyone, getting ready to go to a commercial break. And if you'd like to get in on the conversation when we come back, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. It's not a coincidence. This is really about a conspiracy agenda, and that conspiracy agenda is to subjugate the overall human population even further here. So give us a couple of minutes, and we'll be back. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. 802-5056 is the call-in number. We'll see you in queue. And if I'm not in there, if you're there and chime in and I don't say anything, that's because I don't see you on the board. You can just say, excuse me, and jump in. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. So we're talking about, and we listen to the space wars. War in space. And this isn't anything new. You heard about it from, they call it the Star Wars program and all this other stuff. That was first actually publicized or released during the Reagan era and everything else. And then also goes back to the race for space between Russia and the U.S. to get into space. And the Russians actually handedly was able to go to space much more definedly than the U.S. was. And it's you know, Russian rocketry that was able to get them to that overall in space, the Sputnik program and everything else. And because that was the overall high ground that was necessary to maintain or to develop and to gather more control over other nations. So that is actively being maintained as well. And it looks like the overall race has all actually been finished. And so it is really as the Russians and the Chinese have surpassed everything the U.S. could do on Earth and outside of the atmosphere of Earth. So there's a new paradigm that we have, and this one is going to be a strong, lasting one, and it's going to be one that is going to be historically sound, and many people will talk about the overall stability and the standings of China and Russia going forward in history. And they probably won't even speak about the U.S., probably just a small blurb that there was a nation that had a very small, came to existence, had a quick rise, and actually burnt out very, very quickly. And it won't even be anything of relevance. And everyone here now would think that, oh, history will be written by the U.S. Well, history has never really been written by the U.S. because they can't write it. So it's these are signals of the dominance that the state, the country state, or the corporate state of sovereign nations, what their overall standings and capabilities are. And you really think about it, they are able to do that from the energy of the people of this nation. That's why you would know that. How could you not think that China was going to be relevant and to be the most significant one? They have more energy to consume. So, significant. So what I want to do real quick, and if anyone likes to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056. I wanted to pull up this article from physics.org real quick. Let's take a look at it. And here it is. China's space program achieves a first on Thursday, a landing on the so-called dark side of the moon that brings the country closer to its globe. To his goal of becoming a space power. Well, it's a space power now. It's an admitted space power. Three nations, the United States, the former Soviet Union, and recently China, has sent spacecraft to the near side of the moon, which faces Earth. But this landing is the first ever on the far side. The Chinese National Space Administration said at 10:26 a.m., touchdown of the Chang'e 4 craft has opened up a new chapter in human lunar exploration. A photo taken at 11:40 and sent back shows a small crater in a barren surface that appears to be illuminated by a light from a lunar explorer. It comes from the Chinese goddess who, according to the legend, has lived on the moon for millennia. I'm going to stop there. That is not a legend. It's not a legend. It is, but I'm not going to go too far there. But one more time. A photo taken at 11:40 sent back by the Chang'e 4 shows a small craft and a barren surface that appears to be illuminated. It was significant in that they used the word illuminated specifically. Illuminated by a light from a lunar explorer. Its name comes from that of a Chinese goddess who, according to legend, has lived on the moon for millennia. And I would just say this real quick, because I'm going to go ahead and just give a different perspective of it. There's actually been stories of living entities that are on the moon, and they actually have been said to have the overall features of someone from China, with just a little darker hue. So, not surprised that they're the first one on that side of the moon. It's not a coincidence. Okay, it goes on. The landing lights China's growing ambition to rival the U.S., Russia, and Europe in space, and more broadly, to cement the nation's position as a regional and global power. No, it's not. It's now a interplanetary traveling power. The space dream is a part of the dream to make China stronger, President Xi Jinping said during 2003, shortly after becoming China's leader. The year-end wraps up China's media official hailed the December 8th launch as one of the nation's major achievements in 2018. The landing on Thursday was announced to the public by state broadcast on closed-circuit TV at the top of the noon news. On hold, China's space technology still lags behind the West. But with the landing on the far side of the moon, we have the race to the front. A professor at the University of School of Astronomy and Space Science. He added that China has Mars, Jupiter, and asteroids in their sights. Let's stop there. Wait. There's no doubt that our nation will go further and further. Let's stop there. The key on that one is asteroids. And I would say that no, China is not lagging behind the West. The West has no representation or capability. Really? Now, China hasn't had a spacecraft that actually, let me think, China hasn't had a spacecraft that they've launched into space, but I don't think that they need to do that. I don't think that they need to do that. But the significance is that there's a race now that's going to be for the resources of the interscholastic or interstellar boundaries of space.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, it kind of trips me out that I keep hearing about how China lags behind. I do some of this stuff looking on the social web, and I monitor some of that stuff. I'm sure everybody does. But, you know, the United States, we don't even have our roads. We haven't built a new airport since 1995. We don't have our roads. Our bridges are collapsing. All of that. All our computer parts, et cetera, we get from China and other places. I don't see where anybody gets off on this. And we just talked about the whole mission thing with we don't even have our own spacecraft. It trips me out that I hear so oftentimes that so-and-so lags behind the United States. I don't see where they lag behind the United States in anything. In technology, in education, in space travel, in weaponry, in the military, in discipline, in schooling. I don't see where they're lacking us, we're lagging behind us in anything. The only advantage that I could possibly see is that we have a larger nuclear arsenal than them. And that's it. As a matter of fact, even when you talk about military, sure, we spend 10 times what the next three people do combined, which is huge. But like what we talked about the other day, we've got $21 trillion unaccounted for. So I'd be really interested for somebody to explain to me what they think they're lagging behind us or what we're leading. Because I can't see us leading in anything.
And you know, Keith, what you said about the nuclear arsenal, the only thing that they have. But see, that nuclear arsenal now in today's world has been nullified because it's old, you know, and the technology that they have, some of it is good that it is old, but it's nullified because it can actually be hacked now. They haven't really talked about nuclear armaments being hacked, and they can be. And I actually was, you know, there was some publication that was put out that was stating just that. Now, I will say what the U.S. does lead in is the leads in propaganda. I would think that. It leads in propaganda just here because the overall footprint of American propaganda is nowhere near as strong as the world. It depends on you.
We're getting a lot of background noise off of Keith. I study, Dave. Why do you believe that we lack in propaganda worldwide? Because I can show you a video where Hillary Clinton was asking as Secretary of State, because that's where the propaganda's really run out of for other countries. But the United States spends billions of dollars on propaganda. They got free, Radio Free Europe or Europe Free Radio. Yeah. They operate radio stations. They have their writers that's in, embedded in papers around the world. I mean, they spend billions of dollars on propaganda, man. And then they just recently, you know, if you watch the Frank Church hearings back in the 70s where they were talking about the FBI and the CIA and their propaganda in foreign papers and saying that, you know, it was against the law back then for the CIA and these other intelligence agencies to target the American people. Well, a lot of people don't know that just changed. Now they can. Polygraph.info, I don't know if it's the State Department or the CIA, but you'll see it in the Google front page news feed nowadays. That's a U.S. government entity masquerading as some kind of fact-checking site. And so, you know, also, it was something that happened here recently where they were targeting. They got caught. Yeah, I mean, they were caught planting stuff in the L.A. Times and stuff. This writer would say, you know, this one writer got exposed for the L.A. Times. He, every time he write an article about, let's say, Russia or Afghanistan or Iraq, he would run it through his handler at the CIA, at the L.A. Times. I think, man. The U.S. propaganda game is very strong, man. Now, the only ones that may be on par with them is Russia, you know, with their outlets like RT America and what have you. But I watch RT America, and I, you know me, Dave, I'm an objective person. Just because somebody's saying something don't mean I'm automatically believing. I'm a fact check them. And, you know, they do engage. I have seen propaganda on there that they weren't being totally straight up. But I say 90% of the stuff I watch on RT, especially if they talking about police brutality, if they talking about corruption in the they're telling the truth. I mean, and I ain't no fool. I know it serves their purpose to make the U.S. look bad. Just like people saying, okay, these Russian trolls. I mean, what is that supposed to mean? But saying that they interfered in the election by posting negative stuff about Hillary Clinton. Well, okay, but was it true or was it untrue? And, you know, going after WikiLeaks for publishing Hillary's emails and John Podesta's emails in the but the emails were true, though. You ain't making the allegation that they doctored the emails and they, you know, are these aren't authentic emails. You just mad because they exposed the emails to the public.
They released it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they released it. Yep. Yes, Daddy, you're absolutely right. And the only reason why I said about the propaganda was just because of this. In traveling around the world, a lot of the people that I see when I talk to them outside of the country and talking to them, they don't fall for the they don't have a lot of the U.S. Propaganda that they have as far as they believing it. They actually say, oh, you know this, and so. And I was just saying it from that point, but the U.S. is heavily budgeted in propaganda abroad. And Hillary Clinton even said while she was Secretary of State, because Scotty's right, that's the hub for propaganda, U.S. governmental propaganda, is that overall department. Hillary Clinton said that they're losing their overall, they're losing pace and they're losing ground and they're losing relevance to Sputnik News, to RT International, to and it was a couple of other publications, South China Morning Post, and all those other things as well. So yeah, and I was just referencing it in that term from people in Europe and people in South America and in other places around the world. They're more keen to things that are going on other than the U.S. citizenry in comparison. So the propaganda, the budget is high there, but it's nowhere near as effective as it is here, as you would expect it because it's to be. So that's really what I was saying, that they're not leading it there, but they're definitely present because you're right. It's huge. They have a huge operational budget for that. I mean, that's the State Department's job. So true. And let me see one other thing. What was it? So here's what was very, very significant in this thing, and they tell you everything if we just learn to listen. They talked about here, and he added that China has Mars, Jupiter, and asteroids in its sight. What is China really after? What is China significant for? China has a large population that is going to have to be able to keep under control. In order to keep that under control, they're going to need resources to be able to do it. They're going to need, because in China, when you offer up a job, as Keith always talks about, in China, you offer up a job, one job, you'll get, and I'm just using this as a, you'll get 100,000 people that have the overall, that's overqualified for that overall job. Let's say you have an engineering job. You'll get over 100,000, 200,000 or a more than what you can ever expect it, individuals that are more than qualified for that job seeking that overall employment. And the overall, that type of requirements and those criteria for that overall job, you wouldn't even, if it was here in the U.S., you wouldn't even get 2 or 3 people to apply.
And what do we contribute that to, Dave? The education system? Because I know, even my cousin who just came back from China, she said they take education very serious, man. And those people are very driven, very competitive, and, you know, they just take it serious versus the United States where, you know, it's based on your family's wealth or whether or not you can attend, you know, college or not. And then even if you do go to college, you know, like you were saying, how many college people with college degrees working at Walmart, you know, because they can't find the jobs?
It's because it's debt laden. It's a debt laden educational system. As you said, you either could afford it or you can't. And then if you do, you have to put yourself in such debt. And then hopefully you'll be able to get into a position where you'll be able to even service that debt. Yeah, right. It is, Scotty. They're much more sound, educationally sound.
Ask yourself this, Dave. Ask yourself this. With the embargo that's on Cuba and been on Cuba for what? How many decades now?
Okay,
that's over 50 years. Over 50 years. How is it that they are still able to educate not only their citizens, but anybody that wants to come there and get a degree in medicine or become a doctor? How is it that this country, you know, which has suffered crippling embargoes for over 50 years, placed by the United States, are able to educate their people and even offer other people of other nations, you know, an opportunity to come there to become a doctor, with the caveat that when you go back home, you got to open up a clinic and serve poor people.
Hold on a second, Keith. And then some of the best medical education that you can get. Some of the best medical education that you can get. So, yeah, so true. But let's go ahead. Keith.
Hey, you know, some of the stuff that you talked about, and I bring it up often, is this isn't from one aspect. It's from so many aspects. And what I mean by that is they did a, you know, they several studies have shown where no one group of people are more intelligent than another group of people. Let's establish that. So the reason why I bring that out is because after the Emancipation Proclamation, we went from almost 2% literacy rate, because of course we weren't allowed to be educated, to almost an 83% literacy rate within 8 years. So we had such a strong emphasis on education that, you know, if you put your heart into something and your efforts into something, that's going to become a strong suit. In the United States, you got a lot of things going on, and you both hit on them. But number one, education is not big. I told you the story about when I went to my my niece's graduation at Georgia State. I was so proud of her because she got a PhD. But what I noticed is that all the Americans were getting their studies in workforce administration, all those sort of things. And all the other, the Asians and the Indians and all that, they were getting theirs in advanced mathematics and physics and all the hard stuff that we don't want to do anymore. Also, the other thing is, I shared an article the other day and it talked about the Republicans in 1963 and how they purposely purposely, as part of their agenda, was to blow up the deficit. Now, I'm not going to go into all of that, but part of that same thing had to do with what we have with our education system. Look, in the 1980s, students' loans were, for the most part, unheard of. They weren't necessary. But now student loan debt is one of the largest debt that this country holds. Why? Because they got a plan that way, and it's all about money. Like Scotty was saying, these guys can't even get jobs and stuff like that because, one, they're useless degrees. Two, they're so under the blanket with debt in jobs that they can't get jobs or for no reason. And then, I don't know if people know this or not, but do you know that when you file bankruptcy, that will not include your student loan debt? So this is all about money. It's all about corruption and greed. You know, when we look at ourselves in this whole situation, everything you've talked about today, we don't have nobody to blame except for our own stupidity. I hate to say that word, you know, they say you shouldn't use that word, but when you look at the things we're talking about, we're in this situation because of our own stupidity and greed. And it was planned to be that way.
Yeah, because there's so many distractions that are here that are more alluring to our overall demise. And we engage in that. There is the poison fruit that we continue to consume, but it's more than consume. We've become obese by it. And it's a purpose, and it is definitely a conspiracy agenda. And, you know, and I would just want to say this, you know, Keith speaks from real experience because Keith actually has family members, Ivy League family members. And so, so true. And those individuals were able to do that because of their hard work, you know. And so, you know, Keith and Scotty, it's really, really challenging where we're going to be, but it's not where it can't be overcome. This can't be mitigated, but there needs to be some real changes. We need to become prodigious savers, because when you become a prodigious saver, value becomes everything, and the value of learning becomes the most important value that you have, because it increases your intrinsic knowledge. It increases your money. You know, I saw something that was on, I forget what it was, what's one of those things, was a tweet or a tweet or tell or a Fed book posting or something. And it said that success, let me see if I can remember it real quickly before we go to the commercial break. You got to get in my phone. And it really speaks to what we were talking about here. Oh, I don't think I'm going to be able to see it. And so I'm going to have to. It said something like, success isn't money. Success isn't money. Think how it was put. And that's how it was put. I'm going to go with that. Success isn't money. And how untrue that overall statement is shows the indoctrination and the domestication of ourselves has really been complete. Money, you can't be really successful without money. Without money, there is no success. For that statement to be true is that success isn't cash. Success is money. The planet is able to have life on it successfully because of money, the intrinsic value of the sun. But these are the things that we have to change, and they're right here in front of us. And they're really, really right here in front of us. And once we do, we'll have a better understanding and be able to appropriately defend ourselves in accordance to the threat. This is one of the reasons why China is going to space, and they're going to harvest asteroids. Because what do asteroids have on them? Precious metals. That's why they're so significant. Right here in front of us. Because asteroids have money. Money breeds success because of intrinsic value. Cash doesn't. And until we break that overall training to think that cash is money, so whenever someone makes a statement that money is success, you'll say, that's ludicrous. You're wrong. No, you're not understanding what the difference between currency and money is. And once you understand what money is, you would say, yes, the truth is there. So it doesn't matter if we remain ignorant. The overall truth of the matter is those that aren't are going to continue to control what we own. And I would like to put it in a position to where we can own nothing and control everything. Now you have prosperity. Listen, we got to get ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056. Now, what I want to do is real quickly is I want to give some of the good things that World War III and global nuclear war are going to bring about. And probably the thing that is going to be the most important and relevant thing is that it is going to define to us by life experience the difference between currency and money. Oh, we're going to know what money is right away. And the importance of it. Many will not accept currency, but they will never ever shy away from trying to acquire money. They'll be even willing to kill for it. But hopefully we'll get to the point where we will be able to have collective prudence to share money because of its overall value of it. We value each other because we see each other as money. And there has to be a fire that we have to go through. And I truly do think that in World War III and in global nuclear war, although the overall system definitely wants that us to happen to gain more control and subjugation over people, they expose themselves to the opposite just as well. And I hope that that overall approach is going to be overrun by many, by the multitude. Because it needs to be. And that's what's one of the things, one of the opportunities that this war is going to bring. It's going to redefine who you are as money, and you'll see your intrinsic value daily beyond your overall place of employment or the global economy that subjugates you. It's going to be broken down to the intrinsic value of who you are as money. And when you realize that you're money, you'll be able to recognize other forms of money. They say game recognizes game. And you'll be able to recognize what's fake, what's an imitation, what is not necessary, relevant, or needed, and what is being used to trick and to subjugate and disenfranchise. Case in point. The money of food will be so relevant that no person will be able to give you a piece of paper known as a check for some food. And you're going to be, no. Game recognizes game. You trying to game me? In order for you to get something from me of value, such as this food, you're going to have to exchange it for another asset or another form of money. Do you have any money? If not, you need to move on. And that's one of the things that is going to be extremely valuable in this overall wealth transfer. The overall wealth of self is going to be reestablished. For those that are going to be able to have the mental wherewithal to distinguish it and capture and seize on it. That's probably one of the most beneficial things that's going to happen to here. The system is going to crack and be extremely vulnerable. And in those cracks, there are going to be hordes and hordes of people that will be able to escape. And they're going to be able to escape the overall grip that the system has on themselves. And they won't have to run anywhere. They'll just have to resonate differently. We're going to have a set of values that are much more sincere and intrinsic than we have now. It won't be about having shiny, clean Jordans and being fresh to death. That's an old for, you know, I'm old, so I say that. Or just having an overall... Today's kids are always saying, living my best life. Are you really living your best life when it's all about consumerism? You can't consume your best. You have to produce it. Your best is always produced, is not consumed. And it has to be relished, appreciated. And it has to be seeded forward as an investment because of its value. And that's one of the great things about this overall war, this displacement that is going to happen. There is going to be a tribe and a community that is going to seize that in a true sustainable way. And their relationships with one another and everyone else around them is going to be different. They're going to be prodigious savers that are going to be sprung among us. There's going to be prodigious savers of money, and money is relationships. You're going to have people that are going to have relationships that they never thought that they would have had before, but because of necessity, because of the relentless human spirit that is a form of money itself, it will come to them a moment. Once the fire hits it, it will shine. Or those that are fake, the fire will consume them. It will consume them until their real comes to shine. Consumerism brings a mental illness and an insatiable appetite that can never, ever be quenched. And it will become a cancerous, advanced form of active cancer in consuming you. It will eat you. You know, one of the things I know about what this happens, when this happens, is that people will be much more satisfied in so many different areas. So many different areas. And even to the point where the scarcity of food, there will be a different type of, and a very more healthy form of being satisfied, your appetite being satisfied, meaning that you'll only consume what you need to consume. You'll only take what's needed. You will be eating for energy, not for pleasure. And it will bring about a different health. Because for every trap that man actually tries to spring to subjugate and enslave mankind even further, there's always a great creator release that's there. There's always sustainability outside of that. That becomes more apparent and easier to be to understand. And we get back to a more simplistic role. And that's one of the things that this World War III and this global nuclear war is going to be, is going to, that opportunity is going to be there in light, in spite of the chaos and the confusion and the destruction all around us. That's one of the opportunities that you all will be seizing on. You've already started. Think about, I look at and I hear and I see where we've all matured to, because you chose to do, take that route, and I can see the potential of everyone. And that is, it's priceless. It's money. It has a real value. It brings a real joy. It brings satisfaction. It brings completeness. It brings sustainability. If you ever want to think about where joy lies, it lies in sustainability. So, in spite of the pain, we focus on that so much. But this is one side that we also need to give acknowledgement to. You know, I hear my man Scotty say, "Dave, I can't wait for that to happen. I'm not opposed to the U.S. Right. Because there's an opportunity that a farmer is waiting to plant a seed. So it's one of the things that we're, some of the things that we're definitely going to have to contend with. There's a measure of success that we're going to have to contend with from this whole thing. Personal, family-wise, and collectively. And it really depends upon you as the individual, what that means to you. Because there is going to be a wealth transfer that's also going to bring about in this overall war, is going to bring about a wealth transfer that many can become, develop insatiable appetites from drinking the wine of splendor. And nothing will ever be enough. They will love for the misery to continue, and that because they are exploiting it. It's going to be that choice as well. And I hope none of you partake in that. It's not worth it. There's nothing to gain there. There's no forward movement that's there. It's worse. You become stagnant. You don't even go backwards. You become stagnant. And everything that's stagnant becomes infirm. Becomes ill. So we have a lot to prepare for. Though there may be another agenda, there's, you know, the sovereign nations have an agenda, and their agenda is that they want the events to unfold for their benefit. Well, when the events unfold, they need to unfold for our benefit if we will seize on them. And they will. And the beginning is going to be brutally tough. Why you need to prepare so that you can get past that initial stage. I'll never forget when I talked to Brother Davis. I know exactly where I was. I was on the 605 freeway going into Los Angeles, talking to Brother Davis. The Brother Davis would like to do a radio show about preparedness and everything else. He says, "Of course, my brother, I'll help you with anything." He said, and the reason why is because I want to get there to when everything happens. I want to get to the other side just to witness how well we're going to do. Never forget, Brother Davis, that opportunity that we can seize to do what needs to be, what's necessary. I'll never forget it. Suggest that was the confirmation I needed, Brother Davis. So we just do our part. You'll have an opportunity to do yours. And it may come in different forms and different dynamics. But it's still the most important thing is that I just know that when we reconnect into the ecosystem, the wealth of the ecosystem is even able to supply beyond what we need, beyond our shortcomings of actually understanding it. The birds don't ever, ever stand in an unemployment line. They don't ever, ever think to use their energy to fill out an income tax. They don't ever, ever give energy willingly to participate in man's economic system. They do get domesticated and tricked in different things. They become just like people. They follow the leader. They become domesticated into following instead of participating and sharing. You know, it was funny. Keith and I was talking, and I know we went a little off topic today, but that's all right. Keith and I was talking. He showed me a picture. He was telling me about a picture of some wolves, and one wolf saw a man and said to the other one, "What harm?" He asked the man, "Has some meat? What harm would it be if I go over there and eat some of?" And asked the man for some of his meat. And the other wolf said, "Whatever you do, don't go over there." And here's what that whole story to me means is that you have everything right here and right now, a sovereign. What that man has is not natural. And the one wolf says, what would it harm me by taking and asking for the meat? The one wolf said, "You better not go over there." Well, the one wolf went over. And then all of a sudden, the wolf looks like a pug. And that's so true. Wearing sweaters and doing other things that's completely unnatural because they're following their leader. Because man's intention is always to subjugate and enslave. We have a chance to break that cycle at the opportune moment. And we need to prepare for that opportune moment for once it comes. Because it is. So, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And I wanted to just talk about that before we talk about the adverse sides of things, because we do talk about the adverse sides of it, because I want to make sure that we're not going to be bound by that, because I don't want us to fall into that trap of I now can exploit others because the system is doing it, and it's creating that overall environment and that atmosphere. And I don't want to change the weather. I just want to be protected from it. So just wanted to give that overall view. But ask that you would think about that and why preparing is so important, so that you can be and preparing is not about how much you have as much as how much you thought to position. You do what you can from the situation that you're in. And believe me, that is enough. That is definitely enough. So, Keith, did you have anything before we get out of here?
No, can you hear me?
No, I'm good. It was an excellent show, though.
The background noise is real bad, Keith, so I had to mute it out. Okay, everyone, we're going to end out a little early today. Tomorrow, Financial Friday, Great Creator Willing will be here. Much love, much respect. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade.